I was studying for the message today. And this has some significance. Like, if I was to just show up on somebody's property line and start measuring out their property line, and I had no connection to that piece of land, wouldn't that seem odd? What would you do, you know, like if you saw me out in your backyard one day measuring out your property lines? Yeah, please leave. Yeah, you have no ownership here, right? You have no business here. If I came over and knocked on the door of your house and I just forced my way in and started measuring all of the area, you would think that would seem odd, inappropriate. And if I refused to leave, it would be illegal. But you know what? In my own house, it's a different story. I got to tape measure when I feel like and measure out my house. I got tape measure whenever I feel like it. I measure off my property. You know why? Because it's mine. And because I can. And if somebody were to come over there and I wanted to give them authority to measure it off, there'd be no problem with that. Open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 11. By the way, I want to stop for just a moment as you're doing that and say Happy Veterans Day to all of our veterans. Let's give them a hand for being willing to serve our nation. They don't really get a lot of appreciation sometimes, but I appreciate them. As you're opening up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 11, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. So if you could, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. This is John speaking. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it. For it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,160 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just come to you today and I pray, Lord, that as I see in the Word, you're calling on them to measure what is yours and what you're going to protect. You're calling on him to establish those boundaries. And the entire temple and all of the earth is truly yours, but for a time, just for a time, you're allowing it to be treaded down by those who are unbelievers. And some would say, well, why would God allow that to happen? And it is to display your patience and your plan in the long run. So help us to understand, Lord, that if we want to really be protected by you, we've got to stay within your boundaries. Those established boundaries, those ones that are in the Word. It's called the canon, the measuring line. So Lord, help us to just be able to understand this today and to put ourselves under your authority. I pray that we would make sure that we are in the right relationship with Jesus this morning, because that's where we start, being in those boundaries. And then I pray that we would live every part of our life within those boundaries, that we would really want you to be Lord of everything in my life. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You have a seat. We're going to open the scripture up just a little bit here and try to understand a little bit better so that we can put it into practice in our lives. I can tell you, I want you to learn history. I want you to learn about the future. I want you to learn all of this from the Word. But the number one thing I want you to do is be able to apply it to your lives, because unless we can apply it, then it's just a great lesson that we can boast of. But when we begin to apply it, it changes our life. Protection within his boundaries. You see, that measuring rule is provided by God through his messenger. This is very symbolic, I believe. It's symbolic of the Word of God. You see, he didn't say, go get a measuring rod, cut it yourself, decide the length. I want to know what the measurements of the temple are. He already knew the measurements of the temple. God had already prescribed it. In fact, this is even beyond that. I believe this is looking at the temple that's in heaven, representing the place where he's being measured, as well as, because this is a heavenly experience, as well as applying that to what's going to be on the earth. You know, the temple doesn't exist right now in Jerusalem. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD and it has ceased to exist. But this is showing us that before Jesus comes back to the Battle of Armageddon, there is actually going to be a temple built, I believe, in Jerusalem. And I know everybody says that's the missing link to the whole thing of when Jesus come back. I believe if you look, though, you will understand that it speaks of this so many months. Do you remember the number of time, how many months? 42. And then it speaks of these days. How many days? Yes. So anybody want to do the math on that? Tell me how long that is in years. 3.5 years, right? 3.5 years, all right? And I heard 7, and that was good, because we understand that the tribulation is described here, that the world, it's unlike the world has ever seen, is how long? 7 years. But this trampling of the temple and this measuring and this time of these two witnesses is how long? 3.5 years. And so therefore, it's half of that great tribulation time. That tribulation is, the beginning of that tribulation time is whenever the Antichrist really begins to rule. One world leader. You know what the world is pushing toward right now constantly? One world government with one world leader. You see, Satan is already trying to set up that time because he don't know the day or the hour, so he's always priming the world for this time. But I can tell you, I don't think the temple necessarily has to be rebuilt before the tribulation starts, but at least within that first 3.5 year period, it will be. Because this speaks of a 3.5 year period where we have the Gentiles treading out, trampling on the outer court of the temple. Do you know what that outer court was really supposed to be there for? For people who kind of fell outside of the prescribed holiness to be inside the temple? That was supposed to be a prayer area for even the Gentiles. But instead, what are they doing to it? They're trampling it. And it ain't because God's weak. It's because God is allowing it. Because, you see, he's got a plan in it. If you read the rest of the book, which we will, I'll give you a little sneak peek into it. After he allows them to trample it for a little while, he personally is going to show up, and he's personally going to stop them from doing it. And whenever he does it, all Israel who existed at that time is going to say, not only our God stopped this, but Jesus is our Messiah. And then they're going to come to true belief in the Lord. To fulfill the prophecy, all Israel will be saved. All Israel that stand there at that time will be saved. But when we look at this moment, what we see is that the measuring rod is provided by God himself. He's the one who gives the standard. Come on, we need a big amen to that one. Whenever we hear people say, how dare you call this activity, I'm in sin, you just make sure you're biblical and you're understanding the sin, because then it ain't you calling it sin, it's God calling it sin. You see, sin isn't what I want to call sin. Sin is what God calls sin. He is the measuring line. And he gave us his holy word, and yes, this word is holy. Yes, this word has been preserved through thousands of years. This word is accurate. You might say, well, but preachers, there's a lot of different translations. If God was over the first writing of it, he can be over the translations too. Now, we may lose a little bit because our language is not as good as some others. You know, like Greek language had 4 words for love. We only have 1. So that just means we need to study a little harder to get the full meaning. It doesn't mean it's inaccurate. It means we need to work a little harder to be able to understand it. But what I want you to understand is the measuring line comes from God. You see, there's a word used for this. The word used for that we would understand is called cannon. Now, I'm not talking about a cannon that you shoot, but from time to time, you've probably heard about the canonization of Scripture, that there's a canon of Scripture, and what that means is, it literally means like a plumb line. Have you guys ever tried to find level without a level? You ever tried to find plumb, and you said, oh man, I forgot my level? I can tell you a little trick. You get a balanced weight, and you put it on the end of a string, and you hold it up with no wind, and it will hang straight, guaranteed, every time. And that's because of the laws that God made. It's called gravity. And because the law of holiness and the law of perfection that God is the one who personifies completely, he is it. He is perfect. If you want to look for perfection and have a guide, God's it. He is the canon line, and he gave it to us through his word. You look at this, Revelation chapter 11, verse 1, then I was given a reed like a measuring rod. You see, he didn't even know what it was. He didn't say that it was so many cubits. He didn't say that it was such and such a length, because it wasn't for him to decide. The prophet John was just given this stick, and he was told to go measure with it. You know what we're given? The word of God, and we're told to measure with it. And we need to live within those boundaries, and if we live within those boundaries, we're going to find the protection of God. We need not fear the threats of the world, because the world can't do anything to us that God doesn't allow, and in the end, the worst they can do is kill us. They can't take our soul. My soul is already set, you know, in essence, is seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We talked about that this morning in our youth class. That's exciting stuff. You say, man, Brother John looks like he's got new life. I'll tell you why, because the Word of God has just excited me this morning. I am excited to bring the Word of God to you today, because God is that measuring line. He gives us his word, and we are his messengers. And that's what the messenger said, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. In other words, that's the place where God's children are. That's where the family of God is. And you know, they're found within the boundaries that he prescribed. You see, there appears to be like a physical temple in Jerusalem at the time of tribulation. And so the things to measure, to rise up and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. We know that there's at least 144,000 during that time of tribulation that are witnesses that are sent out into the earth. So we know of at least that many. They were marked on their foreheads so that it would be known who they were. And not only that, but God is also going to send these two prophets. And this is so awesome. I mean, this excites me. And we're going to read more about them next week, so you got to come back, because I'm going to leave you hanging on this one. There's not enough time for all of it today. But you see, the things not to measure are just as important as the things to measure. You see, God measures. He has him measure that which is his. But then he tells him not to measure something else. And so let's look at what he tells him not to measure. He says, leave out the court. It isn't that it didn't belong to him in the first place. It's that if they're not committed to him, it really doesn't matter. He's just given it over. You see, those who are already committed to him have a place of security. But those who are rejecting Christ have no place of security. In fact, they look like they're winning for a little while. You see that happening? You ever see that happening? I was told Kamala Harris was going to win the election by a corrupt media that kept saying it right up until the day. You might say this is political, but I think it's more moral than it is anything else, honestly. I'm not going to say that Trump's our savior by any means. But I can tell you one thing. Out of those two, there was one of the options that was going to take us a lot further away from God. And I think God's given us a little reprieve, and we better make good of it. Not because my hope is in a leader, but because I'm thankful that we didn't get put under a very ungodly leader. One who had very different plans, but that's just a side issue. And if we see here, he's saying that these Gentiles that are not believers, now this isn't just Gentiles who will come to Christ. If you remember, at this point, hearts are getting so hard that even though they know it's God that's pouring out his judgment on them, they're shaking their fist at him and saying, you know, they're still cursing him. Nobody's calling out to Christ at this point. It just gets so hard. And those who are going to come to Christ in great flocks, I think, have already seen their opportunity. And now the hardness sets in. And it says, leave out the court which is outside the temple. This is the middle part of the tribulation. And do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. You know why they're going to do that? Because God allows them to. Because God has a plan. At the end of this 42 months, he's going to rescue Israel, and there's going to become this great belief. And then, at the very end of that period, Jesus comes back in person. And you know what? All of his resurrected believers are with him. They're the army that's behind him. And you know, they're not required to fight a bit. They're wearing white. And we are just cheering Jesus on while he destroys the enemy with the sword of his mouth. The word of God is all it takes. Man, this is awesome. Man, this is setting up for this great deliverance. That's why God's allowing it. You may say, man, Pastor, there's some bad things happening in my life. How can I still believe in this God if he's allowing this to happen to me? I'm going to tell you, the end of the matter is better than the beginning. The Bible tells us that. And it may get weird sometimes, and it may be painful sometimes. We may end up in situations that we're wondering, where's God in this? I'm telling you, you keep your eyes on him, because he's there. And he's going to show up at the right time. He just does, because he's bringing glory to himself. You see, all of this is expressing God's ownership. God measures the part of the boundaries with his people. He even says, don't bother measuring that, because I am giving that over to them for a time. But believe me, I'm taking it back. It will be measured later, by the way, because it's his. He's allowing them to have it for a time to express a greater deliverance. But in all of this, I want you to understand something. No matter how hard it gets on you, do not turn your back on God. Do not turn away from God. Do not turn away from doing God's will. Because this is what happens, and I've seen it happen in people that profess to be Christians, and things just get so hard, and the next thing you know, they're saying, I'm not even going to try anymore, Pastor. I'm not believing in that God no more. He let me down. Don't take that approach, because as soon as you do that, what you're doing is you are removing yourself from the protection of God's original plan. Don't do that, because God only obligates himself to take care of what is his. So I'm gonna give you my favorite life scripture here today. Many of you, if you've been here, I've been here 16 years, I have repeated this scripture over and over and over again. You should be able to repeat it with me if you know what I'm going to say. It's Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work to the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You see, my obligation in this, it's not God's obligation. My obligation in this is what I need to focus on. If it's going bad for me at the moment, I need to keep loving God. Because, you see, that's one of the criteria of the if-then statement. You see, he all things work to the good of those who love God. Number one, what's the second part of that? And are called according to his purpose. Are you called according to his purpose? Are you called to be a Christian? Has God called you? And you accept his call and you surrender yourself to him, and don't you dare look back. Lot's wife looked back. Didn't go well for her. You keep looking forward, because your redemption draws nigh. You need to keep your eyes on the eastern sky, because Jesus is going to call us up, and then we're coming back with him someday. Look at Hebrews 13:5-6. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, let's say it together, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, let's say it together, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Man, if we live like that, our boldness will shine. You will draw others to Christ if they know you're a Christian and you have said you are a Christian and you live like you're a Christian. It will be at those darkest moments of our life that we still say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? If you live like that, people will say, hey, you know what? I know John, or I know Isaiah, or I know Ryan, or I know Mackenzie said that, but whenever I saw them at their lowest part of their life, they believed it. Your faith will be tested. I want my faith to be polished while it's being tested. The only way that's going to happen is if I keep my eyes on Jesus. I trust him, and I say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. You see, God will give the unbelieving Gentiles 3.5 years to rebel. That's what he says in that verse 2 in chapter 11 of Revelation. I can tell you that don't sound like very long to us, but if you were living during that time, it would be terrible, right? But I trust you won't, because the believers of today should be raptured out by then. But if something happens that maybe you haven't come to that place, and you're still here for that point, you remember what I said and give your heart to Jesus. You know, some people say, well, we're going to act like there's not a rapture. The rest of the world don't need to know about the rapture. I'm not going to say anything about the rapture. I think you should talk about the rapture. Because what if one day you're standing beside your buddy at work who don't know Christ, and all of a sudden you're gone? You're not going to have another chance to tell them, hey, you know why I'm gone? I belong to Jesus, and he's real. But you see, if you tell him beforehand, even if he makes fun of you for it, and then that's the day, and you're gone, all he sees, I mean, maybe a pile of clothes, I don't know. He may be riding beside you. He may have to grab the wheel. I don't know. But he'll go, hey, wait a minute. I think what he said was true. When things, all hell breaks loose on earth, maybe he'll then, at that early part of that tribulation, give his life to Christ or her life, right? Talk about it now. Be confident of it now. The Bible says it. It says at the trumpet blast, at a surprise time, the dead in Christ will rise first, be caught up, and we will be caught up together with him, and we will be with him forever. I think that's worth being happy about, don't you? I mean, I'm a little afraid of heights, so it scares me a little bit. But I think I'll be over it then, okay? Because, like, I'll be with Jesus. That's all that matters. I can close my eyes that long. And then I'll be with Jesus. It'll be all right. But you see, that 3.5 years is going to seem like a long time to those who are stuck in it. But you get it? Even during that time, they're not going to be without a witness. They're not going to be without a witness of their error that they're living in either. Because if we look at Revelation 11, verses 3 and 4, and I will give power to my two witnesses. Two. A lot of people want to know who those two are. And I could give you my best guess, but that's all it would be, so I'm not going to do it. The Bible doesn't tell us who the two witnesses are. There's going to be two witnesses, and they're going to prophesy 1,260 days. Did you notice he used a different measure of time to come up with the same amount of time? Why do you think he's doing that? Because he is reiterating in more than one way, it's going to be 3.5 years of that. And I get, you know, there's a lot of people who are like, well, you know, maybe it'll be 3.5 years, maybe it'll be 350 years, maybe it'll be, you know, 3.5 days. We don't know. Guys, I think God's given it to us in more than one way so that we'll know. And why we need to know, I'm not sure, but we need to just take him at his word. And they will prophesy during that 1,260 days set, clothed in sackcloth. What does sackcloth represent? Mourning. A sorrow over the sad condition. It represents repentance. And you know why they're standing there like that in the holy place while the Gentiles are trampling the holy place, just outside of the holiest of holies. They don't get into the holiest of holies. God won't allow that. But they get into that outer court. And you see, he's allowing them to do that, and then he's allowing these, he sent these two witnesses to stand there in sackcloth saying, we are so broken over the state of mankind. You need to repent. And you'd think, well, those two guys could never hold up against this angry mob, right? Well, just them by themselves couldn't. You see, they have a supernatural grace, a supernatural protection. Do you want that supernatural protection? I think it's available to us today. Spiritually, we have a supernatural protection that cannot be taken away. And it's not because I have a gun in my pocket. Everybody's looking at my pocket now. I don't. It's okay. If you do, you know, whatever. I'm not afraid of guns. But I'm going to tell you, that gun only protects you as far as God would give you the ability anyways. And so it's really in the hands of God. Amen? My life is hidden with Christ. I'm his. He's got me. I'm okay. They didn't kill Paul until it was time either, you know. He lived up into his late 60s at least, mid to late 60s. It was only whenever it was time that they were able to take his life. And that's the way it is for these two guys too, these two witnesses. They're going to finish and complete their 1,260 days. There's no doubt about it. Why? Because God said so. And while they're there doing it, they're representing that you need to repent because this is really bad what you're doing and you need to tell God you're sorry. You need to repent. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. Lampstands, we read about those in the first couple chapters of Revelation, and it represents like God's spirit. Oil always represents his spirit. Fire represents the judgment of the Spirit of God. They are representing the fact that they belong to God and that the Holy Spirit is upon them. These are the olive trees. You know what kind of oil they burned in the lamps that stood in the temple? It was olive oil. And so this all represents that they belong to God and God is using them for this. And I'll tell you what, God takes care of his people. Do I get an amen to that? Look at the way that he equips these guys, man. This is pretty awesome. And if anybody wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth. How are you to proclaim God's truth? What part of you do you use? Your mouth. I get it, you live it, but I'm telling you, God still wants us to speak it. And so the word of God has power. And this fire proceeds from their mouth. I think it's real literal fire. And it devours their enemies. And if anybody wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. So for this one time and this one purpose, he doesn't arm them with an AK-47. He doesn't give them a fully automatic Uzi and tell them, mow down all the people, because it would only work so long anyways until you ran out of ammo. He gives them the ammo of God's word. And he just says, you just keep speaking it, and it's going to come out like fire, and it's going to mow down anybody that stands against you. You see, God takes care of his people. And if he can take care of these two guys when the whole world is coming against them, wanting to kill them, he can take care of us today. We just need to stay within his boundaries. We just need to stay within his boundaries. Whenever things aren't going right, rather than blaming it on God and saying, why'd you let me down? This is not comfortable for me. You need to say, what do I need to do next, my commanding officer? This battle didn't go so well. I talked about the election earlier. How about that Amendment 3? Doggone it, that made me sad that stupid thing passed. That means that they're going to be allowed under the law and the Constitution of the state of Missouri to kill babies again in the womb. I hate that. It only passed by 1.7%. Shame on any Christian that didn't vote. 1.7% of our state population wasn't that much. We could have overwhelmed that. But you know what? My hope is still in Jesus. I'm not going to stop fighting. We're going to keep fighting until every human life is respected and upheld, not just in the womb, from the womb to the tomb. We need to really pray that God would give us a respect for human life. And just because they got it in the Constitution don't mean it has to stay there, amen? We're going to find out what the next step is. We're not going to quit because God's still on his throne. We haven't lost the war. He's already won the war. And we may have lost a little battle, but we're going to keep fighting, amen? Come on, church. Be with me on this one. Pro-life is a gospel issue. We're not going to say that's a political issue because it's not. That is a moral issue. And so we're going to keep fighting. You going to stand with me on that one? Amen. Well, let's stand as well that we are going to stay within the protection of his boundaries while we fight that world, that whole battle. We're going to stay within the protection of his boundaries. And you know what? It starts with Jesus. Amen. And we keep staying within those boundaries by being in his word. Amen. All right, I'm going to do you guys like I did my Sunday school class this morning. Show of hands, how many people read the Word of God on your own every day this past week? Give me a hand. Woo! Sorry, that was loud, I know. I can't help it. It makes me excited. All right. You don't have to raise your hand again because, man, you elated my heart as a pastor. All right? Everybody in this room who read the Bible on your own at least twice last week, raise your hand. Woo! All right. Everybody who picked up the Bible and read it on your own at least once last week. Woo! All right. Praise the Lord for every one of you that were able to raise your hands. And if you didn't, I'm not shaming anybody. I just want to see next week everybody raise their hand to the first question. Guys, I'm going to tell you how we stay within the boundaries of God and his, you know, we want to stay under his protection. We have got to stay in his word. By being in his word, I'm not saying you got to read a whole chapter each day. If you want to and you can do that, do it. But guys, at least take in a few verses every day. Take in a thought from God's word every day. There's apps that can help you. You know, you got a smartphone? Pull down an app that gives you a Bible verse, you know, scripture verse area every day. It'll help you at least remember. It'll send you a notification. You know, we check our notifications. Check your notification. Read that. Take a minute. Look at it. It'll grow, believe me. Once you start doing that, you won't be able to stay out of God's word. You may even hit the button that says, read it to me. So you can listen. That counts. I'll let it count. As long as you're listening to God's word, okay? Being read to you. Just no commentary, just God's word for a little while. We can go back and get the commentaries later. I want to hear what God has to say. Okay? We need that. So it starts with Jesus. It's in his word. And you know what? It's also being within his people. I run into people all the time say, I'm a Christian pastor, but I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, it might be true that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but if you're a Christian, you need to be with this church. And if this ain't the one, then, you know, let me know. If there's any way we can adjust, we'll try. But like, find one. That's why there's different congregations. You know what I'm saying? But I'm so glad you're here, and I think we're the right one for you. So let's work together, okay? And let's be like a family. You know, whenever your family member, you know, you get a little out disjointed with a family member, you don't just like write them off, do you? I hope not. That's it. We disagreed on something. You're gone. Never talking to you again. Then don't do that with the family God either, okay? You know, we shouldn't be able to chase each other off real easy. Now, if you need to talk to him, get straightened out, then go for it. You're staying within his boundaries. He shows us how to do that. Let's find that protection within his boundaries. We need it bad. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, we're going to come to you in prayer right now, and I'm going to pray over this congregation, Lord. You are the good shepherd. You've called me to be your under-shepherd, and so I pray over this beautiful congregation today. the beloved. I pray that you will help us to know where your boundaries are. It's your measuring line. The Word of God is your measuring line. Help us to know where your boundaries are, and then help us to want to stay within them. Sometimes I've had people come to me and say, you know, preacher, I need you to be my accountability partner. I'm really struggling with this thing, and I want you to help me get over it. And look, I don't mind being an accountability partner, Lord, but really I found that most of the time they go ahead and do what they want, and then they confess it to me later. That's really not going to help. I mean, maybe the accountability of having to be embarrassed to confess it to me later, but then sometimes if they keep doing it, they get to where they start lying to me. And so that's bringing more judgment on them, and so I don't like that process very much. And I'm not complaining, Lord, but what I am asking is, I pray that we would all make sure you are our accountability partner. That we would understand you're real, you're watching, you know everything, you even know the thoughts of my mind. You know the condition of my heart. You see what I look at. You see what I think whenever I look at it. You see what I say under my breath, you hear it. Things that no one else hears. So let me care more about what you think than what I want to do. So Lord, forgive me for my own sins that I have committed this past week and even today. Lord, help me to get within your boundaries. This isn't just to keep me saved, because if I'm saved and I'm in Christ, I'm yours. But this is so that I have the full protection of God, which I so desperately need. And as I walk with you, you take away the opportunity for the enemy to oppress me in that inner sanctum of my heart. Things can go bad on the outside. My life is definitely not perfect, Lord, since I came to follow you on the outside. But if I know that I still got you on the inside, I can endure anything for a little while so that I can have you forever. So, Lord, help us to keep perspective. Help us to keep ourselves within your boundaries, so we can sense your presence and your protection always. If there's anybody here that needs to surrender their heart to Jesus, that's that first step of the boundaries. I pray today would be the day. They'll have this opportunity to come up and just say, Jesus, I repent of my sin. I want to turn away from it. I believe you're the Savior. I believe you died on the cross for me and rose again. Now I want to give my life to you. Then, Lord, I pray that you would work today in our hearts. If there's somebody that's been getting outside of your boundary a lot, it's like somebody else holding your umbrella and you're not even anywhere under it on a rainstorm, then Lord, help us to confess that today and say, Lord, I want to get under the umbrella. I want to get within your boundaries. Help me. Help me to give this sin up, whatever it is, or just way of thinking. Help me, Lord. And Lord, I have every reason to know that you're going to help them if they ask you. So, Lord, bless this time. And if anybody just needs prayer or needs to pray about something else, Lord, let them feel free to come forward. In Jesus' name, amen.